Hello, you amazing people out there, and welcome to the Amazing Action Comics Podcast, where we are all about independent comics. I'm one of your hosts, Angel, with Phil Pepe.
How you feeling, Angel?
Holy shiganigans. Yeah, this is, what, 2 weeks, right? Because last week we did not
Right, and then we did the week, we were there the week before.
Yeah,
we did
correct.
The week before, yep.
Yeah. So for those of you guys who don't know, out sick. It sucked, man. but you know what? It happens, and you get through it, and you hack up half your life, and then you just move on and shit. So,
and proving that you can't keep a good or even mediocre independent comic review podcast down. We're back this week, and you would have been able to do it last week had you been able to pick up something to read. Yeah, so there was that. Yes,
correct. So yeah, so I was up and about, but there were no books on my end, and I didn't want to. I had no interest at all in just listening to Phil speak for an hour on books that I did not have in my hands.
That makes two of us. That makes two of us.
That would have been ruined. But I did pick him up. And you know what? When I finish off Vanish, because that's the only book that actually was from that week that I would have read.
Yeah.
I'll definitely, you know, kick back on it, because that was one of those Substack books that had come out. That's Ryan Stegman and Donnie Cates, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So
doing their Spawn, it looks like.
Yeah. So I mean, I looked in it. It looks beautiful and stuff like that. Sure, so yeah. I want to have a read. So probably next week, I'll probably just give my 2 cents on that.
All right, cool.
So you guys can listen off, and I'm pretty sure people already picked it up. So
yeah. I would have reviewed Crashing, the new IDW original that launched this month.
Yeah. You know what? I looked at it and I was just like, I don't know. And because, you know, the only thing that I actually like from IDW that's come out the last couple of weeks, because I know you like True Cult.
I love that book.
You keep pushing that book, and every time I hear you just pushing that book, I'm just like, Dark Spaces has got me. So, Scott Snyder book.
Look, IDW Originals has been such a great initiative for them.
Yes.
Each month is, you know, starting in, what was it, August, each month they give us a new number one. And so far, so good with that. And it's a great example of just, you know, what you can do when you lose a lot of your licenses, you know?
Yeah,
so
you just pivot and do something else. It forces them to, you know, think outside the box. And
yeah, just like,
you know,
Dark
we got
Horse,
some good stuff.
You know?
Yeah, we got some good stuff. So it's good. All right, Kitty. So we do have another indie comic review. Before we dive into this week's books, we do have just one bit of piece of news, right?
Yeah. So, word came out this week that artist Carlos Pacheco, who is a fantastic, phenomenal artist, 30-year career. He co-created the series Aerosmith with Kurt Busiek, which volume one was like 20 years ago. And then they finally got around to starting volume two, which you did review the first issue of. And
they have that song that I love.
Yes, it is. Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Yes, Dude Looks Like a Lady. Yeah, that'd be down on a list, really far down on a list.
I wish I could remember. I was reading an article about how Dude Looks Like a Lady was written specifically about Vince Neil from Poison. That's right, right?
Really?
Vince Neil was in Poison, or Vince Neil was in Motley Crue?
I don't know.
Bret Michaels for Poison. I believe, dude, with that, I read an article, and I think it was about Bret Michaels, that yes, Aerosmith, the band, Aerosmith, wrote that song specifically about Bret Michaels.
Really? That wasn't written for the soundtrack Tootsie?
No, it wasn't written. It was well after Tootsie, but yeah, you know, the Tootsie reboot.
Yeah,
absolutely going to use that song whenever they get around to remaking that. Yeah. We are off on such a tangent. Smith is the comic, but that was, I like that joke. That was fun. So yeah, so Carlos Pacheco, unfortunately, his career as an artist is over because he has been diagnosed with ALS, and I'm not going to do the long form medical pronunciation of what ALS stands for. Everyone really knows it as Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. And of course, the joke is always, what a coincidence that Lou Gehrig happened to contract Lou Gehrig's disease. But no, ALS was named for the Iron Horse of the Yankees in the glory days. Yankee ball player and phenomenal hitter, Lou Gehrig. So, yeah, so it's, you know, if you ever read up on ALS, man, it is a horrible, debilitating disease. It paralyzes you and then kills you. And the paralyzation starts slow and just increasingly gets worse and worse. And then eventually, well, you're just done. And so my heart really goes out to this guy. He has one of the nicest, cleanest lines in comics. He's done a lot of stuff for the big two. Coincidentally enough, he had a cover for Damage Control this week from Marvel that I guess he said is his last work that will really see the light of day, unfortunately. So my heart goes out to him and his family. And, you know, ALS is one of those things where there's a lot of, you know, I guess there's some organizations that are, you know, working to find cures or treatments for this disease. If you are charity minded and you have a little money left over from your comics, you know, after buying your comics, you always look into it. Anything that's looking to help with this, because it's a good cause and it is important. And yeah, if you're charity minded, definitely, and you haven't thought about donating to any ALS places, you know, look into that. But you know, again, Carlos Pacheco, you know, will be remembered as a great, I think, especially of the 90s and 2000s era. Yeah, it's just a shame. One of his best things that I love that he did was Avengers Forever, the 12-issue miniseries from about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think also written by Kurt Busiek, and it's a really cool history through the Avengers. And it really, you know, along the way, continuity gets a little wonky, right, with different writers. And Kurt Busiek and Carlos Pacheco really did a good job of streamlining Avengers history and making a lot of these weird things fit together. So a really, you know, and it is a Kang story. Kang figures heavily into it as well. So I think Kang is pretty hot right now. So if you ever get a chance to pick up that trade, and just marvel at this guy's artwork, because he was a draftsman supreme. And he will be missed as an artist.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Unless he fucking beats this thing and comes back, you know, and starts drawing again. That's unlikely.
And then he has some super lines. But, you know, all the best to him and his. And, you know, hopefully he does recover. If not, unfortunately. I mean, he's had a great career. So yeah. He'll definitely be remembered for sure. So, okay. I need to shake it off. So let's move on. All right, cool. So that's pretty much what we have. We do have some other news for Amazing Action Comics, which is pretty exciting. But, you know, rather than doing it this week, I want to do it when we have stuff that's finalized, because we do have some stuff that will be coming up for early November. Cool. So probably sometime next week or the week after, I'll definitely have an announcement on that. But just look out for that. And definitely, you know, go to AmazingActionComics.com. Stay up to date on everything that we got going on over there. All right, but we do have two books for you this week that we did review. This is episode 82, and these are titles for the week of September 28th in the year of our Lord 2022. So why don't you get us started? Let's start off with that old dog.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, kick us off.
Okay, so this is from Image Comics. It is called Old Dog, and I like it. So it on the cover right there, it says Red Act 1, and I love when they do this, number 001. So it's like, I love when they do that with like the double zero in front of a one, like, oh, we've got plans for this book, right?
So it's very always presumptuous.
It's always wishful thinking, I always feel. But I also think some of it is a stylistic choice, because this is a very sort of, you know, clandestine secret agent type book. And, yes, you know, even on the first page, you open it up and there's like this little profile of your main character for the book, Jack Lynch. And there's a whole bunch of like redacted, you know, black line stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's more of a stylistic choice. So this is, and again, I love when it's when a guy who is known as an artist really does tackle writing. So this is by Declan Shelvey, and lettered by Clayton Cowles, edited by Heather Antos. And that's it. That's your creative team on this book. Declan Shalvey, I know mainly as an artist. I don't really know him as a writer, and I've always liked his style. He kind of has a Darwin Cook meets Eduardo Risso type of style, right? And so I love his line work. I love his storytelling. And I found this to be very interesting. And this is one of the books where I did like the straight read through. And then I was like, okay, now I want to kind of go back and like reabsorb it, you know, and see how this is laid out. Because I do feel the layout is a little confusing if you're not paying much attention to the timestamps and locations at the beginning of a scene transition and the color changes. It can read a little weird, right? So I initially, you know, that first read through, I felt like the two events that we were watching were actually happening simultaneously until I kind of realized, oh, okay, this is what's going on. And and a little digression. Grant Morrison talks about this thing about how comics is like one of the only mediums where you really get to experience time travel. I always think of this as really interesting because he makes this point where he's like, you know, if you're reading a comic through and then you can always stop and then you could go back. Just really quickly go back a couple pages and just relive that moment and then go jump ahead and then to the present. And he's like, even if you want to peek into the future, you can always peek into the future and then go back to the present, you know. And that really, I think that mindset kind of, you know, as I was going back through this thing, that time travel thing that Grant Morrison has talked about really was running in my head, especially because this takes place in two time periods. And so you basically have this ex, I guess, CIA agent working for some other group now, you know, and they're on this mission, and this mission goes haywire, and he leaves his station to go, you know, see what's going on. His partners have been wiped out, and he finds himself in this room with this weird machine, and then this machine explodes. And then he wakes up. You find out he's been in a coma for a lengthy amount of time. There have been changes to his body, and then he is partnered up, you know, with I'm not going to give that reveal, but he's partnered up with somebody, and then you see that a mission that they're on. But now both of these time periods, the first mission and then the 8 year later thing, is that they are running narratively, they're running tangentially through the book. So you're jumping back and forth between these two time periods. And it's really interesting because of the physical difference between your main character, Jack Lynch, that it is a little confusing at first read. And then once you get into it, you know, and as they lay it out, there's like, oh, aha, you know, there's a few like aha moments in there. And that's kind of why I like this book. So yeah, on that initial like read through, I was like, I don't know, this is a little too wonky, a little too confusing. Then when I went back and kind of like poured through it again, I was like, okay, I like it. I get what's going on here. There's a lot of cool things that are set up that hopefully the payoffs will be strong. And, you know, I think it was a really good effort by Declan Shalvey to do something. And this kind of fits in, you know, your main character, this Jack Lynch, he's very much in the mold of, you know, if you're familiar with Sin City, Marv or Hartigan, right? The cop from That Yellow Bastard. And there's also, like I said, if you like Darwin Cook's Parker novel adaptations, a lot of these, you know, a lot of that style is in here. So this is like a neo-noir thriller, right? It's kind of crime noir, but it's definitely dealing with science fiction-y type stuff. And I think that's where this slots in. So I really enjoyed it. I definitely want to see where this goes. And again, just if you're frustrated on an initial read, this is definitely one you might want to reread because it does feel better the second time going down.
Okay. So,
which is a weird turn of phrase that I just put there.
But I agree with you. And I had the same issues that you had, especially when it's not clear and the transitions. I mean, obviously, you can tell between the color palette. And then obviously the way that he's drawn, where you're at. But initially it took me aback a little bit. And I was just like, I hate when I'm into a story and then I have to like rationally break things down because it takes me out of the story. And then it's hard to get me back in. But yeah, so I'm not as forgiving as you. So this is one of those where I just, you know, I appreciated what I love, like artists, writers who, you know, could lay it down and lay footwork out for, you know, other people that want to be able to do. Seem like that Daniel Warren Johnson is one of my favorites.
Right.
I mean, do a power bomb is just freaking fantastic. You know, with the layouts and the story itself. So, and maybe it was just for me a disconnect in like this whole CIA operative. Maybe I have to put that down as another genre that I'm not crazy about.
Gotcha.
Eventually, I'm not gonna have any genres that I'm into for it. But you know, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad by any means at all. I think it's just the storytelling wise that I didn't connect to on that front. But the art was really good, and the writing for the most part was, you know, cohesive and you could understand it. It was just the time jumps for me that kind of threw me off. And then having that reveal at the end was something that we've seen 1,000 times. Cool as it may be, it's just like, oh yeah, that's okay.
Here we go again.
Here we go again, kind of thing.
Yeah. But it's always nice to get a trope or a cliche and then kind of see if they can put a different spin on it too.
You know, yeah.
We're not there yet with this. We don't know.
Correct.
We don't know how much of a spin he's going to put on it. But again, the mystery laid out, again, I felt wasn't intriguing enough. What was this machine? Why is it important? Why are they trying to rebuild it? Like, what did it do to him? You know, I just found that kind of fascinating.
Yeah, and that was a lot to age for 8 years.
De-age or what? Because there's a weird, wonky thing where visually within a scene, he goes like from old to young again.
Yeah.
And it's like, really and so, weird. So I really, that's something I'm like, that's not a mistake, right?
Because
a lot of times I found this also with Liam Sharp's Starhenge, right? When writer artists who have been working with really good writers for a very long time, especially for the big two, when they make that transition to do their own creator stuff for independent companies and they get to run wild with their ideas, I think their ideas are really good, but it reads, especially for a first issue, okay, you as the creator, you're the writer, the artist, and you have all of the information.
Yeah.
And the way you're disseminating it to the reader can feel a little frustrating, right? Like, what did I say about Starhenge? I think it's really beautiful. It's really interesting. But I think the only person who really understands what's going on is Liam Sharp, you know? I got that vibe from this too. So I feel like, yeah, that wasn't a mistake because this guy's really meticulous, especially with your creator-owned thing. So there's more, I think, to be revealed later on, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's where I differ. I don't have the patience for it.
Right.
Unfortunately. So, yeah, check it out, guys. Old Dog from Image Comics. It'd be interesting to see what you guys, your take on is. So, yeah. All right, cool. But what I really like is like the stock of paper and cover together. It's a matte finish. I love matte finishes because you could just put it under the light and good to go. The freaking glossy stuff just drives me insane.
Also, my greasy Italian fingerprints don't really show up too much on a black matte cover like this. So I really appreciate that.
Stop eating pizza while reading comics.
Dude, I'm Italian. I ooze pizza.
Oh my gosh. All right. What's the other book?
So the other book, which, you know what, I think you might like this since you don't have the patience and you love these Aftershock one-shots or one-shock.
I know. I'm just kicking myself in the ass for not picking it up.
You know what? You might want it because this was I thought this was really cool. It is called Hell is a Squared Circle, and it is written by Chris Condon, illustrated by Francesco Biagini, and colored by Mark Engler, lettered by Dave Sharp, and edited by Ryan Carroll. And, you know, we love these Aftershock one-shots. The only thing I think we do have the issue is, okay, here's another tabloid size thing that I got to find, you know, build a new shelf for, or find something, you know, a better way to store this because, you know, it's not comic size. It's much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But these are great, just 48-page, you know, one-and-done stories. And you mentioned Daniel Warren Johnson earlier, and how, you know, Do a Powerbomb has been something that has really been great straight through up to this point in that 7-issue series, and is also wrestling themed. This is a wrestling themed book. It is the art style from Biagini is a very Daniel Warren Johnson-esque style. So I really dig that. And I think that really lends itself to a wrestling story because it's all sort of kinetic energy, you know, and the way the line work is and the thickness of the lines and the speed lines that are used and just the way things are done. It really helps, I think, get across a lot of that movement that you get in wrestling. And this, I really dug this. And so basically what you have is a story that almost is evocative of that movie, The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke, right?
Yeah. Great movie.
And great movie. And it's very interesting. There are certain parallels to this. Your main character in this is Ted Walsh. He is a wrestler by the name of the Irish Muska, and he's a heel. And he keeps getting promised, oh, we're going to make you a face. You're going to get your face turned. You know, you're going to be a good guy. And then, you know, he's great because that'll make me more money. Because this guy admits that his own worst enemy is himself. And he can't pay his rent. He's really bad with what little money he gets. He hasn't been able to pay his alimony and child support and you know, because there is a daughter in the picture as well. It's in sort of another parallel to The Wrestler. And, you know, so at any time he gets overwhelmed by this stuff, he just loses himself in booze and drugs, right? That's where his money really goes, and he does it to forget. And the problem with that is that when you sober up, you remember, right?
Right.
And it gets so bad for this guy that he commits a murder, all for basically to try and get financial gain. He steals this money. He goes on the run to Canada. He's on the run for 14 years, hiding out, creating a new wrestling persona, and really apparently makes this effort to clean himself up, to get sober, to reconnect with his daughter. And then it all goes south again because the past catches up to him in a very interesting way. Now, this is a book that unlike Do a Powerbomb, it very subtly flirts at the supernatural. And there is like some demonic imagery in there, but it really, you get the sense that that is just in his head, that this guy is so messed up and so, you know, sinking down into his hole that he's being on the run, that it's just sort of like he's seeing things.
Similar to like Kill or Be Killed?
Similar to Kill or Be Killed, sure. And there really isn't an overt heavy supernatural presence for this, that's what I really liked about this.
Okay.
Because
it could be like his literal demons.
It's his own literal personal demons, right, and his paranoia.
Gotcha.
And so at first I was like seeing these little hints, right? And I'm like, okay, I think I see where this is going, as far as this is going to be another sort of, you know, almost like a Do a Power Bomb with that supernatural element. But no, that's not there. And that really made me appreciate it more, right? So this is just basically if The Wrestler just went down a really dark, dark, bad path. And the other thing about murder is, you know, once you do it once, you got to do it again. And circumstances force this guy to do it again. And, you know, and then the way it all sort of comes together at the end, I found really fascinating, really, really interesting. And I would say my only sort of hang up about this from a narrative point of view is the 14-year time jump. I get why it's a 14-year time jump, but just based on who this guy is, yes, he cleaned himself up and he really tried to better himself. I just don't feel like this guy would have been able to not get caught after 14 years. It's sort of explained away that, you know, stateside, everybody just moved on and forgot, but not everybody. And so that's where it starts to come back at him. But I just felt like that 14 years was the only thing that, you know, the suspension of disbelief for me felt based on what we had already been shown,
right,
felt a little too huge to kind of overcome. But again, It's really good. It's really cool. I
and it
really
is a one
liked
shot,
it.
right?
And it's a one and done. Yeah. It is very much a one and done, you know. And yeah, I think again, if you really like that Do a Power Bomb and the backdrop of Do a Power Bomb of professional wrestling, but you want something that's a little grittier and a little you know, more real, and just, you know, again, it's really dynamic, kinetic, you know, energy filled artwork. I really dug this. I really dug Hell is a Squared Circle by Sweet. Aftershock. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Two books to check out.
Yeah, and it's nice to get a one shot to just get it all in one and like be like, ah, I'm good. And it's not like a heavy 200 page tome. You know, it's a 48 pager and it's just a really good read. And it'll stick with you, but you, as a one shot, you don't have to stick with it, right?
Right, right. Excellent. All right, cool. Well, there you go, guys. You have Hell is a Square Circle from Aftershock and Old Dog from Image Comics as our picks for this week. Looking at next week's releases, holy crap, it looks like there's going to be a number of books. So,
oh, really?
Get ready for a 3-hour podcast. No, I'm just joking. there's quite, we'll pick the ones that we want to.
I think, yeah.
I think, you know, talking about IDW has a new one coming out next week as well. So right. There's quite a bit. So, yeah, I'm excited because the independent market is just, it keeps booming. You know, the mainstream is always going to be around. And we both still read mainstream stuff, which is cool. But I just love the fact that new stuff keeps coming out next week. And we're still keeping up. Like Survival Street is still freaking absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think issue 3 comes out next week of that. So, I mean, nice. if you're a fan of Sesame Street, Muppets and anthropomorphic things just coming alive, and
violence
violence and having your show canceled driving you to violence because of who canceled your show, absolutely phenomenal. Minor Threats comes out next week.
I'm looking forward to the second issue.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good. So there's some really great stuff that we've been continuing with, and I think maybe what we'll do is if not next week, the week after, we'll just put a list of the stuff that we still have that, you know, ongoing. I mean, even A Calculated Man from Aftershocks is still fantastic.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff that we're reading on top of the new number ones that are coming out this week. So it's not like we're just reading the number ones, big two stuff. We're still keeping up with some of the independent stuff because it's just, it's so good. And it's funny because the difference between the two, right? You have the big two have these ongoing stories since the 50s, 60s, and they're just going to keep going. And, you know, independents, the only independent right now that's, you know, ongoing that I can think of is Savage Dragon and Spawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that respect, and if you want to put Cerebus under there, you can as well. that book drives me insane. I just can't believe it's still around. But yeah, you know, there's not a lot that's out there that's ongoing. I think that's what makes the independent market unique and different, frustrating yet intriguing all at the same time. There's some really great stuff out there, but we're not going to get it for a very long time. I mean, Invincible ran for how many issues? 186? Not even
150. I think it's 147.
Well, yeah, somewhere around
plus
this.
Plus like some miniseries and one-shots and things.
Correct.
Like that.
Walking Dead. It ended, right? Yeah, on mm-hmm. on an odd number too, which is weird. Yeah. The only thing right now, I think the longest right now, other than Spawn and Savage Dragon, is Saga, right? It's on issue 60 something, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that took a 2-year hiatus.
Yeah.
So, the fact that we get an opportunity to read new number ones each week and there's still some ongoing stuff, but for the most part, there's 6-issue, 8-issue minis, allows us to, you know, cleanse our palate and then move on to the next big thing. There's very few things that last for, you know, years.
I mean, you could make a case that Archie is an independent comic.
Dude, when's the last time you read fucking Archie? Seriously, we get digest every week and they just pop up.
But that would be like, what, issue 5023 that they're at right now, or legacy number 5023. I don't know. It's funny because I rewatched Chasing Amy and there's this whole bit about Archie comics. Uh-huh. So the other day I was like looking through Archie comic, looking to be like, oh man. Yeah, I think Hooper X has a point about Archie.
Yeah, if I want to see next week if you pick up an Archie comic.
Oh, no. You know what? No.
Spend your $2.99.
There was what this one book that came out today, Santo's Sister. Or this
yes,
called,
yes, it looks Sisters. Just like it.
It looks just like it. And it's I walked by the main wall and I was like, why is that kid's book here? I was like, oh, wait. No. I was like, why is
but
it Archie?
It was
book?
Just
oh,
the cover, though.
Just the cover. Yeah, it is definitely not an Archie book.
Yeah, it was an homage to stuff that people are not reading. That's fantastic. All right, kiddies. Well, if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're a creator and want to promote yourself and or something that you have coming up, just go to amazingactioncomics.com/podcast, fill out the form. You on. We will be having on a creator shortly. I have to give you the details, Phil. And then, yeah, we'll
some people on
talking up their nice stuff. Make sure that you visit amazingactioncomics.com to stay up to date on everything that is amazing that we have coming up. Make sure that you support your local comic shop. Phil, where do you get your comics from?
Well, I get my comics at The Joker's Child in Fairlawn, New Jersey. And again, you can get all these great comics that we talk about at The Joker's Child.
Plus also, Archie Digests.
As, please, we are swimming in Archie Digests due to reasons I really won't explain. But yeah, definitely come on, check us out. Like I said, you get all these great books. Also, take a look at our website, jokerschild.com, where Angel does a great job of letting people know on Sunday morning what books are going to be coming out that Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a great way to just keep up and week to week and see what's coming out and even get stuff set aside for you. Also, check out our social media, our Instagram and our Facebook at jokerschild.com. One of the great things that you do also is every Friday you give us a best book you're not reading. So some of the books that we've reviewed pop up on there. Some mainstream stuff pops up on there. So that's always really good because there's a lot, there's so much out there. It's very easy to miss, So yeah, Joker's Child, come on down, visit us, buy some comics. But also definitely check out our social media and website presences as well.
Absolutely. All right, kiddies, that's all that we have for you this week. Please, until next time, be amazing, stay amazing, and read something.